My name is J.D. Gear.
And where do you live, J.D.?
I live in Bend, Oregon.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about yourself and your life and what happened where you had an issue with addiction.
I've struggled with addiction since I was about 13 and 14 years old. I got into a car wreck, and after the car wreck, they prescribed me medication, and I took the medication and, like, kind of instantly fell in love with the instant satisfaction and the instant gratification I got from that, and the way it just kind of made everything else go away. And then I continued to struggle with addiction through my teenage years. Ended up going to prison when I was about 21. Got out, stayed clean for about 3 years, and then ended up kind of falling back into it. And then in 2018, I moved to Bend, Oregon. Still kind of continued to struggle with addiction. I was been homeless in Bend, Oregon for about 2 years. And then about in September, I found out I had a heart infection and I had issues with my heart. So I was hospitalized for 8 weeks. And kind of when I was in the hospital, like on my deathbed, pretty much, I decided I didn't want to live that life. And I didn't want to die. I didn't want to die an addict. So I decided to get help. And I've been clean since.
Where did you get help at?
I got help through Best Care here in Bend. A couple of the recovery mentors from Best Care came and seen me while I was in the hospital, and they got me set up with Turning Points Recovery, and it's housing and treatment. And so now I'm currently in Turning Points, and I go to Ideal Options for my Suboxone treatment weekly, and so I do that, and I do Turning Points.
You described a treatment. What is the treatment you're talking about?
So the treatment I do is 5 days a week from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. I do different classes like CBT, which is cognitive behavior therapy. I do DBT, which is diversional behavior therapy. We do like mindfulness group where like we learn how to be mindful of ourselves and others. And we also do like relapse prevention groups, and we do MRT, which is a book where you go through and you have to do 16 steps that kind of mimic the steps of NA, but are slightly different, where we have to write out some of our stuff and some of our issues and then do like speeches in front of people about it to be able to pass to go on to the next step.
Tell me, you know, we're in the holiday season right now. Why is this such a tough time for those struggling with addiction and to defeat addiction? Why does this time of year present extra challenges?
For the holiday seasons, a lot of us have to deal with the wreckage of our past and the things that our addiction has brought for us, which is we lose a lot of family members, we lose a lot of trust. Me, myself, I don't have family, and a lot of people don't. A lot of people stray away from their families in this disease, because some people just kind of shun people with addiction. Some people steal from their families, and so their families don't want them around. So for us, it's being alone on the holidays, being depressed, and just kind of feeling hopeless and that nobody cares because we don't really have anybody. So for me, it's really important to be in recovery and be around people this time of year, because you learn that through recovery, you do have people. There's people that care. People that you never met before care about you. And if you put forth the effort to try and change your life, you'll see how quickly those people come into your life. And it's kind of a beautiful thing.
You know, that's so wonderful you were able to get help. But I'm wondering, because of the pandemic going on, so many people are in isolation. Is it going to be even more difficult to catch people before they fall through the cracks in this situation with the pandemic going on?
I mean, yes, it is going to be difficult to catch more people because of the pandemic, but there are also options available. As in, I go to treatment over Zoom. All my meetings are over video chat and stuff like that, and there's a lot of places that are doing treatment that way, but there's also a lot of places like inpatient where they're having to social distance, so inpatients kind of cutting their number of people they're allowed to have in half, which is making it like to where people are just falling through the cracks drastically because they can't have as much people in there And, I mean, it's kind of going to be hard just to build new rehabs to, you know, house these people. So until, like, the pandemic's over, it's just going to be really hard for everybody to get help because just everybody's having to cut their numbers in half.
Was it an opioid that you became addicted to?
I ended up becoming addicted to heroin.
Yeah, so that starts with opioid painkillers,
yeah.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah, and I've I've seen so many documentaries and read so much about this, and it's just, how common is it here in Oregon that people are getting hooked on, I should say, these painkillers?
It's more common here than anywhere I've ever lived. I grew up in Reno, Nevada, and Sacramento, California. I kind of bounced back between those two places. And you would think that those places are bigger and have more people that addiction would be more rampant, but it's not. I've seen more drug addiction here and more people getting hooked to it than I've seen anywhere in my whole life. And it's kind of crazy, to be honest.
What advice would you give to folks during the holiday season, during this COVID particular holiday season, about trying to stay clean?
The advice I would give people during this holiday season is just to for help. Even though there's a pandemic and there's places that are cutting their intake in half, there is places that are willing to help. And if you search for it, you will find it. It has to be one of those things where if you want it, you have to want it. And if you want it, you won't give up. You'll find where you need to go. And just to reach out. If you reach out to any doctor, any therapist, anybody that works in the medical field, anybody in, like, DHS, any of that, they will find you help. They know where to take you. And so it's just mainly reaching out and not giving up.
Yeah, and I've also been reading stats that people are drinking more, too, because they're home and they're isolated. Does that concern you?
It does concern me. I've never had a problem with alcohol myself, but I do see in a lot of cases where people that are addicted to drugs start substituting one for another and figure, hey, well, I'm not doing drugs, so now I can drink. And drinking is kind of the lesser of two evils, but at the same time, drinking ends up as an addiction that's going to bring the same pain as anything else. If you do it to an extent, you're going to end up homeless, you're going to end up jobless, and it's going to be the same exact pattern as when you were using drugs. And a lot of people don't realize that because it's legal, and then they go down that path, and then next thing they know, they're back in that whirlwind. And so that really scares me, too, because it's so accessible, it's so available, and I from what I've seen in Oregon, is drinking's kind of big. Like, they have, like, the growlers, and people go out to, like, beer fest, and, like, drinking's really big out here. And so it's a hard one for people. It really is.
Yeah. Tell me how your life is different today. Let's give us just a contrast and compare how your life is now versus when you were using.
My life is different today by one where I'm taking care of myself. I get up, I get the things I need to get done. I take care of my life. I go to work. I'm responsible in the way of where I'm planning out the future of my life and doing things for, like, the betterment of my future, to whereas I'm kind of, before I was stuck in this, like, just stagnant area where I was constantly just going down and down and down and down and doing nothing really to move forward. It was bad decision after bad decision after bad decision that led me to homelessness. And then I got to that place, hopelessness, where I wasn't looking for help. I didn't care about getting help, and I was just okay with that I was homeless. I was okay that I was going to die a drug addict, whereas today I don't want that for myself. I realized that just because I had a rocky past doesn't mean I have to have a rocky future, and I can change who I am and have a better future for myself, and I'm not stuck where I'm at.
Wow. Yeah. And how long did it take you to get to that point?
It took a couple years of trying. I ended up going to Ideal Options to get help through Suboxone. And my first 3 months with them, I was still using every week. I was relapsing constantly. So after about 3 months of going to my Suboxone treatment and just keeping trying and trying and trying, I finally stayed clean. So it took me about 3 months of trying before I actually stayed clean.
Do you mind my asking how old you are?
I'm 29 years old.
Okay. And when did you first start taking the painkiller that you became addicted to?
At 13 years old.
Wow. And how long had you been using it when you knew you had a problem?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you remember how long it was before you became addicted?
Probably within a couple of years, I realized I had a problem.
What was the telltale sign that made you realize, okay, this is a problem?
Where that's all I was doing. I was waking up every day thinking how I was going to get my next high, how I was going to get money to buy pills. I started stealing from my family, stealing from others, stopped going to school, stopped working, and my whole life was centered around drugs and how I was going to get and use drugs. And that's when I realized I had an issue.
And once you did that, was it tough to tell those around you, your loved ones, your family, that you were going through this?
Absolutely, because a lot of my family couldn't tell, and a lot of my family was surprised. I kind of always had the notion of my family always thought I was the good kid, and that I was the kid that was responsible, and I was the kid that was the one that was going to make it. But it was kind of all of a facade that I put up to my family so they wouldn't know. So it was kind of hard for them to believe that I was doing that. And, you know, at first they kind of didn't even believe my problem was that bad and kind of, you know, pushed it to the side. And, you know, it was kind of taboo at that time for anybody in my family to have a drug addiction. So it was kind of like they kind of didn't believe me at first. But then over the years, when they seen the wreckage that I started causing, then they kind of realized I had the issue I had and kind of separated themselves from me because I was stealing from them and stuff like that. Now I still really don't have that close of a relationship with my family because of the records of my past.
Are you trying to improve your current relationship with your family?
Absolutely. I absolutely am, and I'm just taking it slow because I'm trying to realize that it's going to take more than a few months or a year to fix the wreckage of 10, 15 years. And so I'm just kind of taking it slow, and, you know, it's going to take some time before they trust me. But, you know, I hold on to the hope that eventually that will happen, and I'll get to go spend Christmas with them, and I'll get to go see them and stuff like that, because as of now, they don't invite me to Christmas, stuff like that, because they don't trust me.
Congratulations on your recovery, though, and on the journey you've had, because it sounds like you have really survived a lot of obstacles.
Yes, ma'am.
What advice would you, you were young when this happened. You were only 13 when you first started using this painkiller you became addicted to. What advice would you give to parents and to family members and loved ones about what they should watch out for?
They should start watching out for, one, is sneaky behavior. If the kid starts being sneaky and hiding things from you when usually your child's not that way, that's something to look into. When your child starts acting different, if they start isolating a lot, staying in their rooms a lot when they're usually not like that, stop hanging out with the friends they used to hang out with, that's a big telltale sign. If your kid stops hanging out with, like, the usual kids they hang out with and kind of start hanging out with different people that they really don't know, that's a big telltale sign as well, because a lot of kids don't have friends that use to start out with, and then they find those friends and stop hanging out with the old friends. Also, depression. If your kid starts getting, like, highs and lows of depression or anger, that's another sign to look out for, because in coming down and when you don't have those things, that you act out. And you act out in anger and you're depressed and stuff like that. And so those are things to look out for, too, is just the kid's all-around attitude and stuff like that.
And looking ahead to, we're going into a new year soon, what are some of your hopes and plans for the future?
Some of my hopes and plans for the future are to eventually get my own place, get out of sober living, get my own place, and get a steady job, and just be able to go to work steadily and pay bills steadily and do that kind of stuff that I never did, where I was just a productive member of society. I want to become a productive member of society instead of a member of society that's just sucking from the system with jail, welfare, food stamps, and all that stuff, and I want to start taking care of myself and, just like I said, become a productive member of society.
Are you studying anything, or do you have any idea of what kind of profession you'd like to go into?
I cook. I've cooked for about 10 years, and that's a good job for me. It keeps me busy, keeps my mind going, and it keeps me in the moment.
Wonderful. Okay, is there anything else I haven't asked you that you think people should know on this topic?
Just to always remember to help somebody and support somebody. It may be hard to put the things behind you that they've done to you and forgive somebody, but the biggest thing, addicts need your help. And when you show that addict that there is some sort of hope and some sort of help for them, a lot will change to go into that and get help. A lot of people, a lot of addicts just want support. So as hard as it may be, I just would tell everybody to give them support and try and get them help as best as you can.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate you sharing the story with me, and I wish you the best of luck and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Have a happy New Year.
Okay. And that was Josh and his story. I'm Annette Newell.